This is Economy Watch, what you need to know about New Zealand's economic life today. Brought to you by interest.co.nz.
Kia ora, and welcome to Thursday's Economy Watch, where we follow the economic events and trends that affect Aotearoa. I'm David Chaston, and this is the international edition from interest.co.nz, and today we leave with news central banks seem to have called time on their brief interest rate pause signals. Just like the RBA on Tuesday, the Bank of Canada did the unexpected and hiked their policy rates by 25 basis points to 4.75%, saying their monetary policy was not sufficiently tight enough yet to bring supply and demand back into balance and return inflation sustainably to their 2% target. Essentially, they admitted that their earlier guidance "they've done enough" was wrong. Growing global concerns that inflation is stickier than expected strengthened expectations that the US Fed will also deliver a rate hike when they next meet a week from today. Currently, financial markets price a 2-to-1 chance that the US Central Bank will deliver at least one 25 basis point hike at that meeting or the next. Investors now await the key US inflation data due Wednesday next week, with a hot reading set to solidify another Fed rate hike after the latest payrolls report showed that the US added a remarkable 339,000 jobs in May. It is not only Canadian interest rates that are affecting Americans. Bad air quality, drifting down from Canadian wildfires, is blanketing eastern states, and airports are having to close. China isn't the only place with bad air at present. U.S. consumer credit levels rose a bit more than expected in April, but at about the same pace as in March, with gains equally split between revolving credit and non-revolving credit. There are no stress signals in this data. Separately, there is still no light at the end of the tunnel that is the American residential housing market. Mortgage applications fell yet again last week, even as interest rates slipped back, with their 30-year fixed rate now at 6.81% plus points. And U.S. exports fell 3.6% in April, and imports rose 1.5%. Their trade deficit in goods and services came in at $74 billion for the month, less than expected and far below the $105 billion in the same month a year ago. Their imports from China have fallen a long way, and China's share of American imports has fallen to its lowest in 17 years. Across the Pacific, China's exports grew 8.5% in April from a year ago, but they slipped back 7.5% in May on the same basis. Imports fell 4.5%. As a result, China's trade surplus shrank sharply. Taiwanese exports fell sharply too on a year-on-year basis, down more than 14%, but they did rise in May from April, suggesting the steep pressure is easing. And German industrial production rose in April in real terms, but that was mainly because construction was up. Otherwise, industrial production volumes are meandering along as they have done, with little change for years. They seem unable to get back to the strong expansion they had in the 4 years prior to the pandemic. But they aren't going backwards either. And we should also note that the Turkish currency, already depreciating fast, has sunk dramatically further in the past few days. And the Aussies released their first quarter 2023 GDP data yesterday, and it wasn't too special. They expanded 0.2% in the first quarter of 2023 from the fourth quarter of 2022, and below market forecasts of a slightly larger rise, and after an upwardly revised 0.6% rise in the fourth quarter of last year. This was the sixth consecutive period of economic growth, but the softest pace in the sequence, as household consumption rose the least in six quarters due to persistent cost pressures and elevated interest rates. As the RBA feared, productivity slumped. The household savings ratio fell to 3.7%, the lowest since the second quarter of 2008 and down from 4.5% previously. Year on year, the first quarter of 2023 was 2.3% higher. New Zealand's GDP result will be released next week on June the 15th. We should also probably note that Australia's new 4.1% official policy interest rate is being talked about as a level that will trigger a wave of house selling as distressed borrowers find their mortgage payments too much to cope with. Remember, most Aussies are on floating mortgage rates, so these increases hit almost immediately. The RBA has pushed through an extra 4% from May 2022, with relentless rises up from 0.1%, and they're probably not done yet. US Treasury 10-year yield will start today at 3.79% and up a sharpish 9 basis points from yesterday. And the price of gold will start today at $1,944 an ounce. That's down $21 from yesterday. and oil prices have risen a dollar to be just under $73 a barrel in the US, while the international Brent price is just over $77 a barrel. And the Kiwi dollar starts today a quarter cent lower at 60.4 US cents. We seem to be matching the weakness of the Chinese yuan. Against the Aussie, we're lower too at 90.8 Australian cents, a near a four-month low. Against the euro, we're lower at 56.4 euro cents. That means our trade-weighted index is down another 30 basis points at 68.8 from where we left it yesterday, and that's a six-month low. And the Bitcoin price is little changed at $26,505 and down a mere 0.7% from this time yesterday. However, volatility over the past 24 hours has been moderate at just on plus or minus 2.1%. You can find links to the articles mentioned today in our show notes. Get more news affecting the economy in New Zealand from interest.co.nz. Kia ora, I'm David Chasten, and we'll do this again tomorrow.